Okay, we're looking at biblical principles on finances on page 11 of your study guide, and actually stopped there at letter D, is where I'm going to pick up anyway, talking about God's principle of circulation and how it has to replace the world's principle of accumulation. God says give, the world says hoard. And if Christians don't break out of this world mindset, they're going to continue to deprive themselves. You know, I've watched God bless the church. I've watched God bless the college through giving. I do not believe that a church should teach tithing if it doesn't tithe or if it doesn't give offering. This STC practices that same principle. We tithe. We give offerings. And I've watched what God has done without any solicitations. And you'd be surprised at the calls I get all the time wanting to do fundraising for the college. And I say we don't, or the church either one, I say we don't participate in that. Well, how do you get your money? I say, well, I just believe the Lord will send us the right people to the school and we'll take care of them. Really? Okay, we're talking about the principle, the scriptural principle of circulation versus the world's principle of accumulation, and the church has become tight fist, and also what happens is when the church does that, the people do that. You're setting the wrong example, and the Lord wants us to practice the example of giving. And I'll just tell you something. In the last 2 weeks, I think it is, the Lord has been dealing with me, even when I go out to a restaurant, the Lord has been dealing with me about giving more. And my minimum's 20%. It's just the way I think, and the Lord been dealing with me about giving more. Is you don't base it off of service, you don't base it off of anything other than God wants to bless that person. Whether they're lousy, sorry, that's not the issue. We are there to set an example. I had something to happen to me actually 2 Sundays ago. We went to a place, and I'll be very vague with all this. And anyway, I got the check and was I went up to the register to pay and thought everybody else was going to sit at the table. And anyway, I got up there and, you know, got that. And they were up there at the register waiting on me. And I walked out of the door and forgot to leave that waitress a tip. And didn't realize it until that night. And I asked Sherry, I said, did anybody leave that girl a tip? And she said, no. I'm going to tell you what, I couldn't hardly sleep. And so I could hardly wait for Monday to get here. And I went out to that restaurant, and I didn't see the girl. And so I asked the person there if they could tell me who worked that particular section Sunday at the Sunday meal. And so they pulled out a chart and all that, and they found out, they gave me the name. I said, is she here? They said, no, she's the high school girl that But she'll be here this evening. So I said, okay. And so that evening came by. That evening, I told Sherry, I said, I have got to go out here. And so I stopped by that place, and I went in there, and through a series of events, I finally got the little girl, or the young lady, and she came out there, and I said, you know, you served us Sunday, and I didn't leave you a tip, and I apologize. And the Lord told me to give her double. Pay the interest on this thing, you know. And so I did, and she said, you don't have to. I said, you know, I just apologize. I'm very sorry that I did that. And I walked out, and she was still dumbfounded about that. But here's the thing. The Lord is wanting us to set the pace. God is wanting us to be the example. You understand? I get tired of hearing people say church people are the worst tippers. The worst people to deal with. They don't want to wait on church people because they're so demanding. And the Lord has dealt with me about these things. And so you can say, well, you know, I'm not going to give her that much. Well, what am I going to do? Get tight fists with God? Or are we going to let God do what God does? Bless His people. We have to learn that. And I'm not talking about being wasteful. I'm not talking about being foolish. As a matter of fact, I think most of the foolishness is given to the homeless. Now, don't stone me. Because a lot of that is enabling habits. You understand? You're not helping that person. That person knows the system. And the person's beating the system. But when you have somebody out here that's applying themselves, bless them. You know? Now, I'm not saying that I would never give to a homeless person. I have. But I'm going to listen in here because, you know, there's cons out there all the time. Just at the post office, I get out of the car and a guy rides up on a bicycle. How about giving me some money? And he gives me this story. And I stood there, and I really couldn't get any direction, one way or the other. So I told him, I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, and if you're trying to take advantage of me, that's going to be between you and God. I gave him money, got my car, and left. Now, I don't know if it was legit or not, but I know one thing. I said, God, if it's not, deal with this content. But don't be tight-fist. Okay? Don't be wasteful. I think the things we do for the Lord, we should do with excellence. You understand? It's just like with the graduation that's just taken place. I want it done with excellence. I don't want people to think it's just some fly-by-night stuff. I want it done with excellence. It doesn't matter if we have 3 graduates or 300 graduates. That's not the issue. The issue is they deserve it as far as I'm concerned. They've applied themselves. They've earned that thing. So why don't we do the best we know how to do for them? And not be wasteful, you understand? You get the picture? To where that God is being portrayed as a God to be served. Not a God that's always taking advantage of people. Okay? So, God's given us principles, we have to follow the principles. And I believe if you're struggling financially, if you'll start following God's principles, I believe you can break the financial struggle by following the principles. I've done it. And I know it works. God's idea of a good investment is considered to be foolish by the world. What do you mean, give? You crazy? No. Obedient. There's a difference. And the world may not understand it. But the bottom line is you set the pace. We've let the world set the pace for the Christians instead of the Christians setting the pace for the world. The world tells the Christians how to dress instead of the Christians showing the world how to dress. The world tells the Christians how to talk instead of the Christian telling the world how to talk. And we just follow their patterns. We follow their patterns. We follow their patterns. Now, from the time I was born, God just put something in me that I don't go with the flow. I'm not a fad person. I don't care what everybody else is wearing. If everybody else is wearing red and I want to wear blue, I'm going to wear blue. And I'm not going to be the least bit intimidated by that. And it's the same way with the things of God. Don't let people sway you in missing God. Be liberal to God. No, I'm not trying to receive an offer, and I'm not going to. I'm not talking about giving to me. I'm not talking about giving to here, to this place. I'm talking about giving to God. Following the principle of God so you can be blessed. And the Bible teaches that we should make heavenly investments. Have you ever read that? We're going to read it. Because the returns are greater and the risks are fewer when you make heavenly investments. In Luke 12, beginning with verse 22, Jesus, doing the speaking, said to His disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life's more than food, and the body's more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, who have neither storehouse or barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" Do you think that God thinks more of the birds than He does you? So if God will take care of the animals, do you think God won't take care of you? You know, I can go to my closet now and have to make a decision. It hasn't always been that way with me. I'm blessed. You understand? It says, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If then you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest?" Now, I found that very amusing. Growing yourself is least. You follow what he's saying? Can you worry and make yourself grow? But if you can't do that, that makes it sound like God can make you grow. Okay? So he says, if you can't do that, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of thee. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink or have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. Now here it is. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. What? Food, lodging, clothing. All right? That's what your needs is what is added. All right? Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. All right? Sell what you have, give alms, provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. Now look at this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm convinced that if God has a man's billfold or a woman's pocketbook, God has the person. Because if God has your heart, you won't be stingy with the things of God. I believe in management as much as anybody, but I don't believe management being stingy with God. It's money. I believe it's utilizing the money properly to where you don't bring a reproach against God. You know, if I'm going to buy something, some piece of equipment or something like that, I'm not going to buy the cheapest thing to have. That you're always working on, that's always popping and cracking and doing this and doing that. In other words, is God not worth excellence? Then let's do what we do with excellence. That has been a sore spot with me from the time I started on recording. Back then was with cassette tapes. And I'd listen to preachers and the quality was pathetic. And yet they had all kinds of millions of dollars coming in and producing such poor quality. And when the Lord told me to start taping, I went overboard on the quality. I would get, and I was letting it upset me because I wasn't getting the quality that I want. And especially if you get somebody on the soundboard that wants to turn knobs. Set the board and leave it alone. Let the thing record properly, okay? And you know that was a major issue with me. And I'll tell you what, I've actually cried. I'm doing the best I know how to do to produce quality, and people aren't cooperating. What do I do, God? I mean, I can't run both ends. Although I have. See, God wants you to do whatever you do with excellence. Whether you're on the platform, whether you're in the sound room, or whether you're anywhere else, do what you do with excellence. Give God the best. And would you shortchange Him? Would you put in the house of your house what you put in the house of God? You know, a lot of people will buy the best for their house and they want to buy the cheapest for God's house. I don't go along with that. You ought to sit down and read about Solomon's temple and Moses' tabernacle. God is not wasteful, but I can tell you one thing, He is extravagant. You understand? Because it is depicting Him. Just think about that. Okay? So when you do things, do it with excellence. When you give that in mind. Give with that giving in mind. Not wasteful, but doing things that brings glory to God, not to yourself, but glory to God. Lay your treasures up. What are you doing? You're putting your attention on the Lord instead of on yourself. How much are you going to take with you? You never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse, have you? No. And I'm not saying be wasteful. I know the Bible teaches to leave your children an inheritance, your children's children. Well, you can't leave if you don't have it. So there's management involved. I understand all that things. I understand all that. But don't be tight-fisted with God in the process of doing it. Someone asked me last week, I was looking at something and buying this, buying this, buying this. And someone asked me, said, how much is enough? I said, never. Never. A person who looks at possessions will never have enough. If you're a billionaire, if you have 2 billion, if you have 10 billion, if you have 50 billion, it is never enough. Greed cries for more. Don't fall into the trap. The love of money. It doesn't mean you have to have a lot to love it. The love of money is the root of all evil. We should have the love for God and the wisdom of God to know how to utilize the money God's given us to where it's in the best interest of the Lord. You understand? Okay. So, the world system of investments controlled by the economy of the world... God's system of investments not affected by the economy of the world. You understand the stock market crash in 29, I think it was? What? Yeah, that was the latest one. Any of them. Didn't affect God. People were committing suicide and all this type thing. It didn't affect God. You understand? There's enough money in the world to get anything done that needs to be done. The problem is improper distribution. Hoarding rather than circulation. And so we have to learn to follow the principles of God and do things God's way. And one of the means that God uses for circulation is tithes and offering. That's a method of circulation. And it's there to bless His people. Now, as long as it's circulating, it's blessing. But when it stops, the blessing's shut off. You understand? You give somebody $5 and they take that and give a kid $5, what's that kid going to do? That kid's going to go buy something for $5. Okay? So he gets a product, somebody else makes a profit. What are they going to do? They're going to take that $5 or they're going to put it somewhere else. And it keeps on and on and on and on and on and on. You keep it in circulation. Well, the tithe it just keeps in the offerings of the house of God, keeps it in circulation to where God is always blessing people as long as the circulation is occurring. Okay? And here again, we have to be cautious not to start hoarding money in the church. You'd be surprised how many churches have millions of dollars in the bank, in checking accounts, in IRAs, or whatever. They're doing all this. For what purpose? You're waiting for a rainy day? It's raining today. No, I believe God blesses us and gives us abundance so that we can use that to bless somebody else. That's God's principle. And I don't want to violate that. I want us to follow that principle. God has blessed us so much. There's a lot of people have more money. But God has blessed us with the ability to do things for the kingdom of God. Now, you use wisdom in it. I understand that. But thank God we can do something. So this is the time to spread out. It's not the time to look at our little group no more. You understand? So, Proverbs 13:22 teaches that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and grandchildren. So, obviously there's good management involved. So you have something to leave to your children and grandchildren. But don't take God's money and give it to your children. Do you know that Jesus dealt with the religious people of His day? Only this was a reverse, actually, that they were taking money and devoting money to God, and the religious system was promoting this, and the parents were deprived and doing without. Well, that's God's money, so we can't take care of our parents. Well, follow the principles of God, and I think everybody will be blessed, God and the parents. And the children, if we'll follow the principles of God. We're in the mess we're in because we haven't followed the principles. The United States of America became the most blessed nation on earth because not another nation on earth was a bigger giver than the United States of America. America has blessed many nations. You understand? But when America starts withdrawing, then that's shooting yourself in the foot. That's to your own detriment. We have to understand that the principle works individually too. Proverbs 11:24 teaches that circulation brings increase. Okay? So, Proverbs 13:22 talks about leaving an inheritance to your children. So which is right, both of them? It's a balance. There's a balance in all this, okay? So, when you study the Scriptures together, you get a clearer understanding of the prosperity message. God's not saying that we're to forget God and neglect God in this process and just start accumulating. No, we give to the Lord. Give to the Lord off the top. Prosperity is a tool to fulfill God's purpose. Don't abuse the tool. You with me? With selfish use. Don't abuse the tool. God's given us the tool. Let's use the tool wisely. Okay? Get your mind off of the accumulation aspect. I'm not talking about not managing your money. I'm talking about not trying to see how much you can get. I'm talking about stingy. Being stingy with God. There's a difference between management and being a miser. Don't be stingy with God. Be liberal with God. If you're going to be liberal with anybody, be liberal with God. Because how you give is how you get. See, it's the avenue that God blesses. Let's just look at it this way. Let's just say God's going to bless me through a pipe. I'm supplying the pipe through my giving. So I can give him a half-inch pipe. I can give him a 2-foot pipe. Now, which one do you think I'm going to get the most blessing out of? He can get a whole lot more in a 2-foot pipe than he can a 1/2-inch pipe. But I'm not giving it to get. But I'm not stupid either. I know it's proportionate. God's wanting us to follow the principles. God wants His people, I believe that God wants His people prospering. More than anybody. But not hoarding. Prospering. To get the circulation out there to where more people can get blessed. And I'm not talking about being wasteful with deadbeats. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about getting God's kingdom to the forefront in earth. Okay? Now I'm not going to start into this other area here on debt-free living. We'll get to that, I suppose, Thursday night.